But I was quite relieved to know that Florida's temperature was less than here while we were gone. The only thing that was rough for us was the humidity down there. But it certainly is great. I'm going to try something new today. You're probably used to me sitting down at a table because of my proneness to having vertigo and getting dizzy. But I've been blessed for the last 3 months and haven't had any issues, thanks to everyone's prayers. And we're going to try and stand up today. So, God knew that we needed someone to help us and guide us through our daily walk to be Christ-like after Jesus returned to his Father. We have all sorts of resources available to us. We have God's written word in the form of the Bible. We have Christian friends. We have pastors. We have church. We have all sorts of assets available to us to guide us in our Christian walk. But I'm here to tell you today, they are really important in our walk and our development, but they don't meet our total need in this fallen human nature that we have because of the great fall. And because of that, God has given us a second great gift, and that is in the form of the Holy Spirit. The first gift, obviously, being Jesus Christ, our Savior, Lord, and Master, who has freed us from the yoke of sin. We look at John 14, verse 16 through 17. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you, and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because they neither see him nor know him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be with you. Somebody say amen. Unbelievable. Fantastic. When I read over that, years ago I read this verse, and it was obvious important that I read it, but when I got an interpretation in Greek of what another meant, which is allos. Allos in the Greek word means as the same. So what is Jesus telling his disciples? He is going to be sending a counselor, an advocate, someone to help them, the same as he is. That's a little different than another person coming to help you. This is the same as Jesus. And he's going to be with us forever. For those of us that are believers and have been saved through Jesus Christ, shedding of his blood. Who is the Holy Spirit? He's the third person of the Trinity. He is the same as the Father and the Son and has the same characteristics. When people ask me about that, it's a very difficult thing to explain, the Trinity and three persons in the Trinity. I always use the example of water. It comes in three forms, a liquid, a solid, and a vapor. That's my best attempt to explain the three-person Trinity in the Godhead. Jesus left the Holy Spirit on earth when he returned to the Father. And when I think about that, you know, Christ in his human form was limited to being able to interface with the people in the location of where he was. But the Holy Spirit can interface with everybody. He can expand what Christ was speaking of, the gift from the Father through his shed blood, to a whole bunch more people than he could have done it on an earthly ministry, or that his disciples could have done on their own. And we're going to see that a little bit later. We are permanently united to Christ as God's children through faith and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives us a new desire to love and please God and the ability to follow Him. That is pretty amazing. That is unbelievable transformation, the start. He teaches us, lives with us, and is in us. He reminds us of Jesus' word and convinces us of sin that is around us as a warning so we don't stumble. He guides us into truth and a whole new life. The Holy Spirit has been active among people from the beginning of time. But after Pentecost, He came to live in all believers. And I've always been a believer since as little as I can remember. But I had never made a personal confession of faith and didn't hear anything about that in the church that I was raised in. In my late 20s, I heard the message. But prior to that, I had this void in my life, and I was always trying to fill it with something, whether it be position, whether it be accomplishments, or this or that. And the void was still there. The night I made a confession of faith to accept Christ as my Lord and Savior, it's still emotional time for me. My life changed. Absolutely. Now, I didn't have bright lights and a shock and all that stuff, but I felt complete, probably for the first time in my life. And I've been on a journey to be Christ-like ever since. And without the Holy Spirit, I'd be back in the 60s, doing my thing, living my life based on my beliefs and my requirements. Luke writes in Acts 1 through 1:5, "In my former books, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day He was taken up to heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles He had chosen, after suffering He presented Himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that He was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days, spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while He was eating with them, He gave them this command, 'Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift My Father promised, which you have heard Me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.'" Jesus provided all sorts of opportunity to verify that He had risen from the grave. It is a recorded fact at this point. Now, there are some other issues that surround that, whether He was really crucified, but we know that He was crucified and He raised from the dead. He demonstrated that He was the true Messiah. He filled the prophecy of the Old Testament to our benefit. The Holy Spirit represents Jesus' presence in the church and empowers believers. Jesus' message of salvation continues through His church in the power of the Holy Spirit today and will continue in the future. Acts 2, verses 1 through 4. "When the day of Pentecost came, they were all gathered in one place. Suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filling the whole house where they were sitting." And there was probably about 120 in that house of believers at that time. "They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each one of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages or tongues as the Spirit enabled them." the present of the second gift to believers, the giving of the Holy Spirit. Wow. They waited for that gift, and they didn't have to wait long, because from the time Christ ascended to heaven, it was about 10 days to Pentecost. So the Holy Spirit filled them, and it came with wind and fire and created quite a disturbance in the area, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But when I reviewed that, I couldn't help but say, what an example of love and how much God cares for us. That He wants a relationship with us. And He wants that relationship to be personal. And it drew me back to Exodus 13, verses 21 through 22. By day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night, a pillar of fire to give them light, so that they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. And when we're talking about the people here, we're probably talking about somewhere around 2.4 million. Because the way you do that, they had about 600,000 warrior men, and it's usually 4-to-1 ratio, so it's about 2.4 million people of Israelites that had left Egypt. Christ present in the pillars is a visible manifestation of God's presence with His people. He was there. And we talk about His caring and His love. And I want to talk about the provisions that He did on a small scale compared to their travel through the desert. He was a pathfinder. God led His people and guided them through the wilderness on their way to the promised land. He directed their route, navigated them through the area. He was their protector. God protected them on their journey, not only from their enemies and other hazards that are in the desert and so forth, but the one that really stood out to me was He protected them from the sun. In the burning desert that Moses even called a great, terrible wilderness, He protected them. They went through it and didn't even get a sunburn. That's amazing. How long was 2.4 million of people traveling? That cloud went over them and protected them from the sun. Plus, I believe it really gave them a tremendous amount of relief from the heat. And He does that for us today. The presence of God. The pillars of fire and the cloud showed that He was with them. He never left them. God often spoke to, and I believe it was Aaron and Moses, through the pillar of cloud. God speaks to us through the Holy Spirit. God the Father. He empowered them. He empowered the Israelites. They needed God's presence to walk in faith through this area of the wilderness. Because redemption through Christ was not yet to come. God did all that was needed to bring the Israelites through the wilderness to the promised land. He was their caretaker. Today, we have the Holy Spirit that brings us through the wilderness that provides our way on our journey to be Christ-like. I, for one, who knows what would have happened to me. But I would be lost if I hadn't heard that sermon that talked about confession of faith, making a prayer of faith. It was instrumental in my life, and I believe it is instrumental in everybody's life, and it's the basis for our transforming. Acts 2:5-6. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from other nations under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. This is when the disciples and others were given the Holy Spirit. Believers were filled. Now, I don't know if all the people that were in the house were filled with the gift of tongues or whether there was other gifts given. But there certainly was enough gifts of tongue given that everybody that was outside could understand the message of salvation that Peter was going to share. He shared the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I believe that was through the transformation of the Holy Spirit for Peter. We know Peter was a zealous guy and really went after it. But when you listen to what was being said by Peter and reviewing the gospel of Christ, he showed a sign of love for them that I didn't see before in Peter when we talk about him. Acts 2:40-41. With many other words, he warned them, and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted this message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their numbers that day. That is a wow. That's more than a wow. That's a triple amen. 3,000 were added to the 120 that were supposedly there. And I believe the Holy Spirit not only gave Peter the confidence in the words to say in his message, but softened the hearts of the believers that were, softened the hearts of the listeners who were not believers. This is a miraculous expansion of the church based on the work of the Holy Spirit. I like to think that we are a conduit. We don't bring anybody to Christ. We plant seeds. The Holy Spirit fertilizes, waters, and grows them into believers. That's what I believe. I have experienced the Holy Spirit giving me the right words to say, and later that individual became a believer in the Lord and accepted Christ. Actually, he accepted Christ in the Million Man's March in Washington, D.C. Again, I was a seed planter, and I was put in a position where I knew I had to say something and I didn't know what to say because it was a really awkward position. What I said didn't seem to make a lot of sense to me at the time, but that's what I was prompted to say, and that was the seed that grew into a faithful follower of Christ. Uh-oh, Bryce, I'm way ahead on my time schedule. Acts 2, okay, Bryce always has my back. Acts 2:42-43. They devoted themselves to the apostles, teaching and to fellowship, to breaking bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. What we're seeing here is the loving, caring, support community of believers filled with the Holy Spirit working together in harmony. It's not about self. And that's what the body of Christ needs to be. The Holy Spirit changed their lives forever. And He continues to do that again for us. I keep emphasizing that. But that is very important. Corinthians 12:7. Now to each one of the manifestations of the Spirit is given for the common good. What does that mean? God, through the Holy Spirit, gives each believer spiritual gifts. Those spiritual gifts are divided within the body for the good of the body. Sort of like the example that we read in the Bible about the harmony of the body with the different parts working together. So we maintain our life and are healthy. So the Holy Spirit delivers gifts to each believer so that the body and ultimately the kingdom can function to glorify God. Spiritual gifts are very important. We just ran a spiritual gift class. You can talk to Gary Egerton or some of the others that attended that class. We'll be doing one in the fall. I would encourage you, if you have not attended a spiritual gifts class, which helps you identify the gifts that the Holy Spirit has given you, I would encourage you. Some of the gifts, and I won't say them all, are helps, leadership, hospitality, service, giving, mercy, wisdom, knowledge, teaching, pastor, shepherd, missions, prophecy, evangelism, intercession. There are a few of the gifts you can receive. And it's like anything else that you have. The more you use it, the more you mature in it. I don't think we can lose spiritual gifts, but I think they can be diminished if we don't use them. So I encourage you, again, take the class, identify where your gifts are, and try working in those areas. And you'll be surprised at the blessings you receive. I guess we're at the point, 8 minutes ahead of time, where the rubber meets the road. And that is, you must make a confession of faith to receive the Holy Spirit. I was a believer for 20 some years and lived within my own purview until I made a confession of faith and my life changed. I know some of you in here have made confessions of faith, have made that prayer. And I would encourage anyone that hasn't, today's the day. Start the new way of life with the Holy Spirit. It is a road towards being Christ-like. And it's a developmental process. It needs to be done. If there is anybody that would like to come forward, I would like to read the prayer and have you recite it as we go through. If you're anxious about coming forward, I encourage you to say the prayer in your seat. And then let us know that you've made that prayer. Lord Jesus, I want to know you personally. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. I open the door of my life and receive you as my Savior and Lord. Thank you for forgiving me of my sins. And give me eternal life. Take control of the throne of my life. Make me the kind of person you want me to be. In Jesus' name, amen. I didn't fall over.